Amen. Hey, before you have a seat, give three people a fist bump or an air high five or whatever you feel comfortable doing. It's good to see you. All right, let's go. Man, I love that we're a worshiping church. Bible says to worship God in spirit and in truth. And all spirit, and it's just crazy, right? with no truth. All truth, no spirit, it's dry and dead. But man, we worship God with spirit and truth. And I'm so glad that you're here today. I want to look at the camera right now and join us, everyone that's watching online. Active Church, could you give a big round of applause to our online family? We love you. So glad that you're tuning in. Let us know where you're watching from online. Give us an amen. If that's good in the chat section, just say amen. Come on, Pastor. In real time, I can hear you guys. Like, you guys, like, if it's something speaking to you, you can say amen. We talk back in our church. We can try it right now. Like, say amen. Amen. You know, say, come on, Pastor. That's good. Yeah. If it's really, really good, just get quiet and like, oh gosh, he's talking to me. You ever had that moment like this? How did he know this? How did he know this, right? That's God. That's not me. I'm not following you around. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, hey, my name is Adam, and if I haven't had the chance to meet you, I would love to meet you today. If you want to connect after service, I'll be floating around the lobby. You can find me because I'm wearing this really cool Serve Day shirt. Come on, we got Serve Day coming up. You get one of these free swag if you show up. So Saturday, July 31st, be there. It's a practical way for us just to show the love of Jesus. Lots of fun projects. And then afterward, we get eat some barbecue together and just have some fun. Get to know each other better. Some of you may be newer to the church. I met a couple gals out front earlier, and I was like, hey, you should join a serve team project, a serve day project, and get to know some people. You're new, and they're like, yeah, we might check that out. So please do that. Also, just before we jump into our time together, I want to recognize we're part of the Association of Related Churches. It's not a denomination by any means. It's just a bunch of pastors that really believe in planting churches. And since the inception of the ARC is what it's known as, ARC, Association of Related Churches, we planted through them. They helped us with money, resources, coaching to really reach our city with the gospel. And we're so thankful for our partnership with them. We have a church plant in the house this morning. And I just want to recognize Hector and Tiffany. Where are you guys at? Hector and Tiffany, right here, the Padillas. Their team is with us this morning. They're planting Encore Church in Alameda, California. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, the Bay Area will never be the same because of what you're doing. And thank you for just saying yes to God and believing that believing what God already believes about you, right? That he's got a call in your life. And so we love you guys. And just so you know, every time you give to Active Church, you're giving so that we can see more churches planted, more life-giving churches planted. They're going to reproduce and grow, and they're going to see people get saved and set free and start getting plugged into church life and really find their calling, find their God-given purpose because they said yes, and this is what we're doing here today. People are coming into the house, and maybe you're here, and maybe you're far from God. We planted this church for people that want to know God, that want to experience Jesus. And so I'm just super excited for what God's up to. So can't wait to see. They launch on September 19th. So be praying and believing for them as well. So it's going to be a great, great launch. I want to read to you real quick a verse that is familiar and will frame our time this morning. This is Ephesians 2:10. Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, which was an awesome church, and he often remarked, we see in all of the churches, the church at Ephesus, Paul was like, and if you're like, what is Ephesus? The Bible was written thousands of years ago, and a guy named the Apostle Paul wrote a pretty good chunk of the New Testament. That's after Jesus came into this world, and he started planting churches. He was once a murderer of Christians. He used to persecute the church called the Way of Jesus, and then eventually God met God, had a moment. How many of you guys know one moment with Jesus can change everything, right? Some of you guys are a byproduct of just a moment with God, and your destiny's never been the same. God's redirected you, and Paul was certainly had that moment, and he's encouraging the church right now, and he's talking about what they were called to do. How many know you're called to do something with your life? Not just make money, not just volunteer at some organization. No, you're called to live your life, to serve others, to serve God and serve others. Like, you've been called to do something great. And he says this in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork." Everyone say handiwork. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let me pray again. Father, would you just breathe on this service, God? I pray, Lord, that today as we give back to you, as we serve, as we lean in, as we sow into this ministry, God, as we give, Lord, our time, talent, treasure, Lord, would you just begin to stir in our hearts? Help us to see where you're moving, and help us to walk out of here never the same. We believe all that, Lord. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thanks, Peter. A few years back, there was a story on the news. You might remember there was about 12 boys exactly, actually, in Thailand with their soccer coach. And there's torrential downpour in this part of Thailand. And they went into a cave, remember this? And they got stuck in the cave. They got stuck, and it was all over the news. It was a very, very scary moment, and all of Thailand started rallying together. People from all over the world were praying and believing for these 12 boys, and they were stuck in there for days. And the news, it was worldwide news, and a man by the name of Elon Musk heard about this story, these boys stuck in a cave, and thought in his awkward Elon Musk voice, was, "I think I could do something about this, I'm sure. Sure I could do something." That's my Elon voice. If you don't know Elon Musk, he's the inventor of Tesla. He's the Boring Company. He's an engineer, mining guy. He's just a brilliant man. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. So what he did is he created a rescue device, a rescue submarine. You can see a photo of it here. It basically is a big enough to fit one person in, and then it would go into the cave, and the idea was that one kid at a time, including their coach, could get rescued. And it's interesting because what happened was a few days after they were finished their concept, and they basically made it in like 2 days, all his resources, all of his abilities, and his ability to think quickly and mobilize a team, he personally flew the submarine to Thailand to help with the rescue operation. Here's what happened. They get there. Elon's like, "I have this rescue sub. It's for you, and we're going to rescue the people." And they go, "Nah, we don't need it." And here's what happened next. Elon, you would think he'd be like kind of salty, right? It's Elon Musk. Like, he's Elon Musk. Like, don't you know who I am? I'm Elon Musk. And here you are with like your Thailand Navy SEALs, but I have a device that you could use if you choose. Here's what he did. After they told him no, instead of leaving or getting frustrated with the process, Elon stayed with them and continued to help any way he could. As a matter of fact, he didn't just sit around. He helped with the rescue. He helped with the problem solving. He lent his service. He didn't just sit on the sideline and go, "Well, I can't believe they didn't use my idea. I can't believe they didn't do that." No, he actually just chose to help. He didn't get offended. That's a word for somebody. He was unoffendable in the moment, even though they didn't use his idea. And after the boys were finally rescued, they got all the boys out safe, praise God, right? But after they came out, the news kept interviewing Elon, and he kept saying, they're like, "So, you know, Elon, don't you feel like a little bit slighted? Like, wasn't it a little bit risky? They didn't choose your device. They went with a different idea." And he kept saying, "No, I'm glad the boys are safe. I'm glad they're okay." In other words, the mission was more important than how they chose to operate in that mission. In other words, his idea wasn't used, but it wasn't the mission wasn't about using Elon's idea. It was about rescuing people that were stuck in a place where they could die. And I just think the local church could learn a lot from Elon Musk in this situation. Now, not everything about his life we should model, okay? I'm not prescribing that. I don't know. He named his kid like Eon Flux or I don't know. What's his kid's name? It's like XYZ or something. Don't do that. Go with like an Old Testament name. Hezekiah would be better than that if you're looking for names. But it's just interesting that after this moment, he just chose to just keep a posture of a servant. And we're talking about who's the greatest this week. We're in week 3 of this series. And we've been looking at this idea that the greatest people serve. Those that are greatest in the kingdom of God are not the ones that choose to elevate themselves and to like get ahead. That the greatest people are the ones that go, you know, I know that I could maybe posture right now, and maybe I do deserve, like in my own eyes, maybe like I have given a lot, I have served a lot, maybe I feel sometimes entitled, but the greatest in the kingdom are the ones that go, you know what, those are just emotions, but I'm not gonna let those emotions rule my life. I'm actually gonna choose to serve. I'm gonna go low when my flesh tells me to go high and posture up. And so this idea of serving, this idea of being God's handiwork, created to do good works for which he prepared for us in advance to do. We often use this idea, this word of volunteer, and nothing wrong with the word volunteer, but here's what I think of if, as we secularize, that word's actually not found in the Bible, volunteer, believe it or not. By the way, we have an amazing team of, we call them serve team. And there's a reason why I didn't use the word volunteer, because we created it, we started this church, Jesus Christ is the lead pastor, but we get to kind of operate and use language that shapes culture and all these different things. And I was like, I don't want to call it our volunteer team. I want to call it our serve team. Here's why. That's what we do. We serve. Volunteering, it kind of has this like connotation, like I'm going to go volunteer down at the soup kitchen. I'm going to do something for them. Like I'm busy. I have a lot of things to do, but I'll volunteer just to kind of like help out a little bit. People volunteer in the secular world just because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes we volunteer because it's a resume builder or a college application. Hello, amen, somebody. Some of you guys are like, I need to volunteer so I can get some good. It's like, it's too late. You already submitted the applications, okay? But some of you did that so you could like build your resume or build, and that's okay, but at church, the local church, we serve. At active church, we serve. We don't just volunteer. We serve. We take a posture, a heart of a servant. We call it the serve team. But I'm not saying you have to just serve in this building. I'm saying a posture of a servant is what God's calling us to do as the people of God. The Bible is stating it clearly that if we want to accomplish the good works that he prepared for us, that we need to become people that serve. When you serve, it's not about your reward on earth. When you make it about what you get out of it, that's a recipe for resentment towards the local church. You've met people like that. I just, you know, all they want is that, and I've been doing, and I'm not getting, and I always ask people, well, who are you doing it for? And that doesn't excuse bad leadership. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Because sometimes people abuse people. And I've met people. I met a gal last week. I preached in a church in Bakersfield last week at one of my, New Life Church. Shout out to Pastor James and Lydia. Awesome church. Right after service, I met with a gal. She was first-time guest at New Life. Big church, and I'm just kind of connecting with people. And I said, hey, what's your name? She tells me. And she starts crying. And I'm like, I reach over for a gal. I'm like, come here. On her prayer team, I'm like, this gal needs some prayer. Let's pray for her. And she just told me, she goes, man, my church just like, I told them I was leaving my church and I moved cities 2 months ago and to Bakersfield, I'm new here. And she goes, they just like, when I told them I didn't want to serve anymore, they said, you're not hearing from God. And they made her feel bad. I'm not saying that's okay. What I am saying though is sometimes we serve with motives that are not actually the heart of God. Sometimes we serve and we start at a place where we're like, what's in it for me? And I just want to encourage you today, like here at Active Church, like I get it. Sometimes we start at the place of a volunteer in our minds, but then God grabs our heart and we go, oh my God, this is not about me. This is about serving the local church. It's about making Jesus famous. So whatever I got to do to help Jesus and the movement go forward, I'm going to do that. Amen? Because I'm a servant. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's not about you. It's not about me. And this isn't just accomplished by volunteering. It's accomplished through serving. Because a servant is not me focused. A servant is not about me. A servant has no agenda. A servant takes a posture of, I'll do whatever it takes. It's not about me, it's about whatever it takes. And sometimes we pray prayers and we're like, God, use me, Lord. Have you ever prayed that prayer? You're like, you got like a good devotion that morning. Hillsong's playing like on your car. You're like, you're in your quiet. It's like, God, just use me. Like, I just want you to use me. Like, use my life. And you're sincere. And then you start being used by God and you're like, all they want to do is like, use me, God. All they want to do is like, oh, they just want me to serve. It's like, well, God's like, yeah, you asked me to help you be used. So I'm asking you to serve. And I'm not saying that you have to serve in this building to be used by God. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Paul said it like this. Paul called himself a bondservant of Christ. You know what a bondservant is? The word in the Greek is doulos. Doulos means it's not like a traditional servant like we would think in this culture, like a servant, a slave. What we think in our terms of slavery in the Old Testament, it was a little different. As a matter of fact, a bondservant was, in the Old Testament, if you were like bankrupt, okay? Say you had to file chapter 11 or whatever you do, you file bankruptcy as, you know, you go under. Your life is now kind of in limbo. And as a matter of fact, you become property of someone else at that moment. But if a family member or someone that knows you or someone that has compassion for you and your family sees you in a position where you're like bankrupt, here's what that happens. They can actually go, hey, I see you there. I want you to come and work for me as a servant for 7 years. So you had to work your debt off for 7 years. And after the end of 7 years, you were free. But here's the catch. Sometimes people, if they were treated right and they loved being around this master and he was a good person, they would actually say, you know what? I want to stay with you as a bondservant, as a doulos, and they would stick a nail in their ears and say, I just love being with you. I'm so indebted to you. I'm so grateful. I don't even think I worked off my debt the last 7 years. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving you as a bondservant because I just want to say thank you for what you've done for my life. That's what Christ did for us. And instead of getting pierced in his ear as a slave, he pierced his hands. He became like a slave. He took the attitude of a servant. He pierced his hands, and we get to receive the grace and the gift of God because of what Jesus did for us. So our natural response, that's why when I talk to people, I'm like, hey, why do you serve? And I hear them say like, man, let me tell you about my life. And I get to know them like, let me tell you about my life before Jesus. Ooh. Those people, you know, those are the best people to serve around. You want to know why? Because they're not doing it for you. And they're not doing it they're not doing it to impress anybody. They're like, let me tell you about our marriage. Do you ever talk to someone that has a testimony? Like they have let me tell you about where my life was before Christ. Let me tell you about how I used to look at myself and think of, and let me tell you about the grace of God and what he's done in my life. And here's why I serve, man, because I would be a wreck if it wasn't for Jesus. How many of you guys know if Jesus stepped into your life, you would not be here today? Praise God that he still saves people and he still gets people out of the muck and mire. Like I'm one of them. So that's a bondservant. So that's the posture we ought to have as the local church. There's a story in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. David is building a mighty army. I love the life of David. Favorite Bible character has to be David. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a very wise leader. And one day there was these men that wanted to come join his army, and he's kind of keeping them a little bit at distance. In 1 Chronicles 12, it says this. These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, and the greatest was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys to the east and to the west. Verse 16. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them. And he answered, he said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, then my heart will be united with you. Watch. So he's like, there's a continue. If you've come to actually help me. Like, they want to volunteer. We're here to serve. And David's like, let me vet you real quick. What is your motive, David's saying, to serve in my army? Pause. This is important. This is really, really important. I don't know about you, but like, if I'm David and I just need people to fight, I'm like, come on, come on, come on, come on. But we see a leadership principle here. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's going, I don't just want anybody. I don't just want all the skills. I know you can handle a sword. I know you can handle a bow. I know you have some skills, but I don't really necessarily want to elevate your skill set over your heart. I'd rather have the right heart and teach you how to fight. And I think that's what happens sometimes in churches. That's why sometimes you can go into a church and it feels kind of dead or it feels kind of dry and you feel like you're not noticed and you feel like, I just don't know what's going on. Because sometimes people walk in because they have all the skills and they know how to do the church life, but they just don't have the right heart. And David's like, are you coming to help me peaceably? Or watch this, he goes, if you've come peaceably to help me, then my heart will be united with you. But if you want to betray me, that word in the Hebrew actually means ulterior motives, a different hidden agenda. If you have a hidden agenda, then watch this. He says, since there's no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment on you. What? In other words, if your servant, if you're wanting to serve because you have a hidden agenda, David says, I don't want you on my team. If you've ever hired someone and they looked really good on the resume and they had a great interview, and then you started working with them and you're like, oh my, what have I done? That's why they say, hire slowly, fire quickly. And can I tell you something? A bad egg or a bad apple can mess up the whole bunch. That's why on our team, it's like when people come in and they're like having a bad day, it's like, it's obvious. Like, are you okay? Why? Because we're protecting the culture. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. I don't have to serve. I get to serve. People showed up here at 5:30 this morning and they're excited and they led you in worship. Can we give it up for our serve team that sets up, tears down? Come on. Why? Because the greatest, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you don't just do the thing that everyone sees. You do the thing that no one sees, not because you want to be honored for it and seen. You do it because it's for God himself. You work unto the Lord, because if you're too big for the small things, then you're just too small for the big things. He goes on to say, verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David. We're on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace to you and peace to your helpers. When you have the right motives and the right heart as a servant, peace will come into the camp. Peace will come into the organization. Peace will come into your team at work. Peace will come into your team at church. Peace will come into the people that you do life with, your family, as you serve your wife for the right reasons. Not just because, like, if I do this, you know, it's Friday night and it's been a while since we, I want to do the, guys, amen. Don't leave me hanging here, guys. Come on. Thank you. It's not tit for tat. It's whatever you need. I'm here. I hope that happens, but I'm whatever you need, babe. Girls, I'm going to clean up this and I'm doing this. And he didn't put this in the, it's not making a laundry list of things that they did or didn't do. And I'm going to serve them if they do this in return. And the next time they don't return it, I'm done. That's not the gospel. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to serve. We're called to serve with no hidden agendas. Don't have hidden agendas when you serve. God knows your heart. When you're serving to do something, to get something in return, that's actually God walks away, because that's pride. The minute we come in here and someone stands on this platform because they need to get something from this, God leaves the platform. I'm like, you guys are like, it's July. You're preaching at us. Hey, it's okay. We're going somewhere good with this. I want to give you just 7 attitudes of a servant. Number 1, write this down if you're taking notes. Volunteering is something you do. Serving is something that you heart. Volunteering, it's something you do. Serving is something that you heart. A volunteer might say, look what I did. look how I did it. You like that? Look at, see, a volunteer might just do things that are only observable from the outside. That's why I love our serve team. There's so many things that happen that no one sees. I was talking to a couple of our team members, even today, Sylvia. I'm like, Sylvia, thank you for what you do right. There's so many, hundreds of things that you do behind the scenes that Josh does, our teams do, that no one sees. I might see the one thing that, oh, you missed that. But I'm saying, hey, you crush it. Like, there's so many things that happen. Because when you have the right heart, you're not doing it to be seen. A servant says, I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on serving others. I'm focusing on helping other people. A servant says, you know what? It's an invisible attitude of the heart. The heart is so important. Like hands and feet and arms and legs, like those are things you need on your body. But can I tell you something? None of those work unless this is right. If your heart doesn't work, it's invisible. You can't see it. But if your heart goes down, everything goes down. So let me ask you this. Where is your heart this morning? Is it more me-focused or more God-focused? Because I'm telling you, the secret to getting out of anxiety, getting out of depression, is not trying to figure yourself out all the time. No, there's good things you can do to deal with the inner life, to become deeply formed, and there's great books, and there's great rhythms of rest and Sabbath and serving out of you know, delight of the Lord, and there's all sorts of things you can do. But can I tell you something? One of the greatest things I've witnessed in my own life is that when I get my focus off of me, and start looking to bless others, how I can be a blessing, God shows up. The dark clouds begin to fade. The Bible says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Can anyone testify to this? Can I get an amen this morning? Amen in the chat section. I got 14% in here saying amen. Come on. Number two, volunteers focus on what they give. Servants focus on what Jesus gave. What did Jesus give? He gave everything. I heard a little pastorism. There was a guy sitting down for breakfast. You might have heard this. He was eating bacon and eggs. Someone asked him, well, who gave more for this breakfast? Who sacrificed more? Who was more involved, the chicken or the pig? The chicken was involved. But how many of you know? The pig gave everything, right? It's a stupid pastor joke. I do one a quarter, okay? One. Volunteers focus on what they give. Servants focus on what Jesus gave. Hey, a volunteer might say, I've given so much of my time, so much of myself. I've had to sacrifice so others could benefit. Here's what that can lead to, resentment. A servant goes, you know what? I don't serve because of how much I want to be known for. A servant serves not because of how much they have given, but because of how much Jesus has given. Jesus gave it all. And when you think about how much he gives, and how much he gave you, think about your life, where you're at with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with God, like you're invited to have this amazing relationship with God through a personal relationship with Jesus, and it costs you nothing other than a surrendered life, and it costs Jesus his life, whatever I can give back to my God, it pales in comparison to what I've been given through Christ. There's a story about the Moravian revival. If you know about church history, it's one of the most, was one of the largest revivals in church history. Moravia is a place near modern day Czech Republic in Northern Europe and Eastern Europe. It was basically this movement that just spread like wildfire. And it was a small area, but these Moravian people were known for their heart for missions. The story goes, there was two young Moravian men. They were about 18 or 19 years old, and they had a heart to reach this island just off the West Indies. Well, these guys were kind of puzzled because they wanted to reach these people. They wanted to go serve them, but they didn't know how to reach them because here's what happened. There was a British man who owned the island, and he was an atheist, a devout atheist. And he said, I'll never let a missionary talk to these people, ever. So they were literally on an island, stuck, never reached with the gospel, and they were literally gonna die on that island as slaves. But these two men from this part of Eastern Europe, Moravia, said, we're gonna go, and we found out a way. And they told their church, here's the only way we can go. They told their family, and everyone was weeping. They said, we're gonna sell ourselves into slavery, into that British man, and we're gonna become slaves for the rest of our life so we could tell the gospel to these people. There was 3,000 slaves that were stuck on that island. These two young men were convinced that the Lord had said, this is what you're called to do. As they were getting ready to leave Moravia with their friends and family, church members, all on the pier, and they were sailing off to voyage to the West Indies, sailing off into their future to be enslaved, to serve a people group that they'd never met. Here's what they said to their loved ones while they were standing on the edge of that pier. Here's what they shouted. This is crazy. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. Don't weep for us. Just give God all the glory. They said, it's not about us. It's about the slain Lamb. Let him receive all the glory of his suffering. Could you imagine what it was like when those two young men made it to heaven? Could you imagine the uproar when people, when they walked into the kingdom and God says, well done, good and faithful. It wasn't about them. They weren't doing it. Hey, look at us. Look what we're doing. They're saying, no. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And that would become the saying of Moravian missions for years to come. And to this day, they were the per capita, the most influential movement that sent out missionaries. They sent out more missionaries globally to preach the gospel to unreached people groups per capita than any other movement or denomination on the planet. It's not about us. Number three, volunteers keep score. Servants make sacrifices. I'm gonna tell you, if you keep score as a servant, you're gonna get real upset. There's not enough thank yous. There's not enough people seeing what you do. You give, no one sees that. Some of you guys are like, I give online, it's okay. Like the bucket would pass and you'd be like, I give online, it's cool. Some of you do things that no one sees. Can I just say thank you? But here's the cool part. The reason why you do it isn't so someone will say thank you and pat you on the back. You say, you're doing it for God. But can I just tell you something? Volunteers will say, you know what? No, I served. I did this thing. No one even acknowledged me. I'm telling you guys, there's going to be days where no one sees what you do. Do it anyways. David was a king that went and led God's people, Israel. He led the people so well. But can I tell you the reason why he was anointed king was because he had a heart that was after God, not after seeking man's approval. And when he went after Goliath, people don't realize that the reason he could sling that stone and kill Goliath on that day, the man from Gad, the reason why he could do that was because day in, day out, he was out in the shepherd fields, taking care of sheep, fighting away bears, fighting away lions. He's like, hey, I've taken out the bear and the lion. I could take out this big dude right here. He had private victories before he had public adoration. Do you understand? You need to do some things that no one sees before you could do the things that everyone sees. That's how God works. It's faithfulness, the little, and then you'll be faithful with much. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? Peter, you can come up here. We'll close this. We're going to land this plane here in a second. Volunteers, number four. Volunteers are time sensitive, but a servant is need sensitive. You ever ask someone to help and they go, oh, well, you know, I'm real busy, but dude, I mean, I got like an hour, like a half hour. Like, I mean, I can show up if you need me. Like if you really need me, and you're like, is that a servant's heart? And I get it. I've been there. This is not for us to go and be like, feel bad about ourselves. But can we just ask the question, are we being need sensitive or me sensitive? Because a servant says, what's the need? How can I help? You know why I can be kind of tongue-in-cheek about this at our church? Because so many of you are just, like, if you've been with us for a while, you have this heart. You get it. You're not about yourself. You're not about what's in it for me. Like, our church is founded, like, the cool thing about planting a church is you get to create the culture from scratch. You get to celebrate the things you want to see. And I'm telling you, this church gets it. You get it. If you're on our serve team, if you've been a part of groups, you've been a part of you know, gone through growth track, gone through kind of our steps, what you've seen is you're like, you know what? This church cares about it. We serve here. We're not just volunteering. Jesus once talked about a man that stopped for people. It's the Good Samaritan. But do you remember what happened before the Good Samaritan did what he did? A couple of religious guys were like, there's a man that was beat up on the side of the road and left for dead. And Jesus is like telling this parable to make a point. And he says that the first guy walked by and was like, I don't want to get beat up too. Like, I got somewhere to be. Like, this guy, he looks pretty bad, but maybe there's someone hiding in the bushes, so we better not stop because I don't want to get, you know, beat up too. And he goes by. And the next guy comes by, he's like, man, I'm going to temple. I can't be touching this person. I can't be getting dirty. Like, I got somewhere to be. Because how many of you know, we're like, we're so busy. By the way, busyness is not the goal. How you been, bro? Busy, dude. Crushing it, but busy. I'm like, as a matter of fact, like, busyness is a sign that you're probably not crushing it. So busy. I haven't been on a date with my wife in like months. Like, no, like, do the right things. First things first. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Hector. But then there's this religious guy that walks by, and then there's finally the Good Samaritan. He walks by and he says, I'll take the time, I'll sacrifice. I'll go down. I'll help. I don't got much, but what I do have, I can serve. I can help with what I have. And he had a little bit of money. He had a little bit of time. It probably cost him cost him something. But can I tell you something? Jesus didn't tell us the story so he could highlight this is what you should and shouldn't do. It was more so here's what Jesus said. He goes, hey, go and do likewise. Who's my neighbor, the question was. And Jesus says, who do you think the neighbor was to this man that got beat up? It was the Samaritan that stopped and made time for the guy. May we never get too busy to be a good neighbor, to help people. May we never put the process over people. May we never be a church that says, you know what, we're just too busy for that. Like, part of what we do as Serve Day, like our Serve Team, Serve Day, we're just doing our part. It doesn't have to be everything. It just has to be a little thing done with great love can make a big impact. And guess what? There's so much need in this city. I walk by it every day. And here's what I do know. We're not going to fix it all. As a church, we're not going to fix it all. But you know what we can do? We can do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. You could do for one. Like, I can't fix a homeless problem. I know you can't, but you can do. You can do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. There's single moms out there. I can't help them all. I can't help all the widows and orphans. You know what? We're doing something. We're doing a little. We have ministries that help widows and orphans. We can't do it for all, but we can do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. I said I had 7 points. I got no more time. Number five, volunteers want themselves to look good. Servants want God to look good. It's not about looking good. It's about making God look good. To let your light shine so they might see your good deeds and give glory to you? No. They might see your good deeds and give glory to the Father in heaven. That's what we're doing. On Saturday, we're not doing it so we can go out there and say, Active Church is awesome! Serve Day! Woo! Instagram! That stuff's cool. You want to know why it's cool? It's cool to like celebrate it because other people go, I didn't even know you guys were doing that. Oh, yeah. You should start a group too. You should start a life group that does that. Oh, I can do that? Yeah. Because it begets more ministry. It celebrates what God's doing. But can I tell you something? We're not doing it so that we could be a cool church that goes on and go, yeah, we did it. We're doing it. We go, man, here's why we do it. We don't just serve in kids ministry. Let me tell you why I serve in kids ministry. I serve so I can invest in the next generation. Here's why I give to Active Church. Here's why I sow into this ministry, not because I just want to feel good. I do it because we're building the local church, and the local church is the hope of the world because people are going to hell, and we want to see hell emptied and heaven populated. It's in Jesus' name that I serve. That's why I give and serve. It's not about me. It's about we. It's about going somewhere. Number six, volunteering is about convenience, but serving is about commitment. I wonder today what inconvenience God might put in your way that you have an opportunity to step up and be Jesus to somebody. One of my most, like, can be real with you, I don't always feel like doing this stuff. even this sermon series, I'm like, I just have to convince people, like, what do I do? Make them feel guilty for not serving God? And oh, like, that's not what I'm trying to do, okay? Because there's days I wake up, I don't want to serve. There's days you wake up, you don't want to love your husband, right? And like, look at him, just snoring. You know what we become preoccupied in our culture? I have to feel like doing something in order for me to get up and do it. Could you imagine if our whole, could you imagine if you lived your whole life like that? Can I tell you something? Like, why do you feel like you have to feel, have a feeling to be obedient to Christ? We don't need that. There's days I don't feel like doing what I need to do, but I get up and I'm obedient to Christ. I make myself obedient. I take every thought captive and I make it obedient to Christ. I submit my flesh. I go, I'm not going to submit this to myself and my thoughts. I'm submitting my flesh to Jesus and the power of the Spirit that lives within me. Say, God, greater is he that lives in me than he's in the world. So I'm not going to listen to this guy. I'm going to listen to what God says, and I'm going to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit's power. Amen? That's how you overcome. That's how you overcome your flesh. It's not by trying to figure out how to be spiritual. It's by simply going, I'm going to do the next right thing because I know this is what God's word says. So I'm going to do it in real time and watch as my life becomes more and more in the image of Christ. I don't feel like it all the time. It's inconvenient sometimes, but it's what God's called me to do. And if it was good enough for Jesus, come on, somebody, then it's good enough for me. I'll be there. How can I help? Give me a towel. Number 7, volunteering makes you superior. And as Andrew did such a great job last week, when Jesus would sit down and he would wash his feet of his disciples, serving makes you humble. What is humility? It's thinking of yourself less often, not thinking of yourself less than. It's simply saying, no, you first. How can I serve you? That's humility. Jesus made himself low so we could see what love looks like. Let me ask you a question this week. Are you willing to go low so others can be rescued? Because this is not a cruise ship. The local church on mission mobilized, moving towards the kingdom, helping people know God and find freedom from their past and discover a future that's brighter with Christ at the middle. Like that is ultimately not a cruise ship. That's a battleship. On a cruise ship, there's like one guy doing something and everyone else is serving you. You're like, give me a drink. And I love cruise ships. I can't wait to go back on a cruise ship in Jesus' name. Go to Mexico somewhere. I don't know. But a cruise ship is all about you, but a battleship is like, hey, grab that starboard, but whatever. We need this, pull this rope. We got work to do. We're in a battle and everyone on the ship is needed. God doesn't just need you. He wants you on his team. You know, it's like when you don't know the words to all. Have you ever had a song that you loved and you listened to on the radio back in the day? You remember you had to like read the CD back? You had to read the words on the CD? Where are my 90s people at? You know, the song's great. You get to your, you're singing your song. Moving my lips, yeah. And then you like start singing like, I put my hands up. Yeah, Miley Cyrus, circa 09. Butterflies fly away. But then you get to the part you don't know. You're like, the part you don't know. It's like you just get quiet. But when you hit that hook that you know, you're like, you sing it loud so everyone can hear it. Listen, this is like a song. We are a church. We're like a song. We're going to play the song this week and next week and every week there, like from till Jesus comes back, we'll be every week playing the same song and we're going to be singing out loud. But there's a couple things that are missing, a couple words that are missing. You're like those missing words. Your gifts, your talents, your time, your treasure. You're like that missing piece. We could still sing that song. Can't believe I talked about Miley Cyrus this morning. Forgive me, God. We can sing the song without you, but you want to know something? Those missing words are like you. It's a lot better when you're here. It's a lot better when you're doing your part. It's a beautiful sound to God. It's a beautiful sound to heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much. God, we thank you that you call us to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took this humble position as a slave. And he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in this human form in a body, he humbled himself in obedience, God. He died a criminal's death on a cross. And therefore, God elevated him to this place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who we're serving this morning. It's the name of Jesus, God. And right now, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would move in this place. That there would not be a feeling of guilt or coercion, but Lord, that you would put a spirit of unity in this house, Father God, that would be unified under the banner of Jesus. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, the God that provides, that you would be a God that provides everything we need. And as we build your kingdom, as we build your house, God, that you would be faithful to build our house. As we point more people out of the cave and into to new life with Christ. If you're here this morning, and you don't have new life, you don't have that new life, you don't have that relationship I was talking about with Jesus, God wants to save you. He wants to give you a way out of that cave like those boys. And I just want to give you a chance, a moment to respond. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling heavy, weighed down, regret and shame and all that stuff. Guilt is just weighing on you. Man, I serve a God that came and served you so you wouldn't have to walk around weighed down by your sin anymore, that you could have a brand new start with God. And it starts right now. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want to invite you to say a prayer with me. But all I want you to do is raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise your hand. If that's you, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand in this house. Amen. God sees your hand. Amen. God sees your hand. A couple of hands. Thank you. All I want to do right now is just lead you in a prayer. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Simply pray this with me, after me. Repeat after me. Say this: Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for new life. Right now, I surrender my life to you. Take over. You're my God, and you're my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me all the days of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen.